This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EA Radio.
Yeah.
There was actually an extra A in there. I left it out.
Uh-oh.
You know, cost cutting.
Yeah, really. They've cut our budget again.
Anyway, we're joined by Miss Star Gin. I guess I pronounced that close.
Gin.
See?
Okay. I'm sorry. My bad.
Why?
Because I was the one who originally said gin, I thought.
Oh. It's a common assumption, I'm sure.
Probably.
But anyway, let's get on to matters of substance.
She's with NASA.
NASA.
We get a lot of NASA people.
We love
here.
NASA.
We do. We've been enthusiasts of the space program since John Glenn went up. Fabulous.
I don't remember that one, but
I do.
Okay.
I remember that. I remember a Titan II launch that aborted right after they fired the engines. They missed a plug.
Anyway. That's not what she's here to talk about.
No, we're going to talk about aeronautics and flight research. Ooh.
That's right. The first A of NASA.
Don't we know everything about aeronautics? That's what the average guy is going to say. We've been doing it for a while. Haven't we found out everything?
We have been doing it for a while, but with the electric propulsion, you know, cressing the new design space of airplanes, It's like Wilbur Wright all over again. There's about 85 different configurations of vertical takeoff and landing airplanes now because of distributed electric propulsion, enabling new configurations. And so, it's really exciting. And I'm really happy that NASA got a new presence here, kind of reinvigorated their presence with X-planes coming down, getting more interest from the Senate and Congress, and hopefully getting a higher aeronautics budget, we're hoping. Mm-hmm. We can do even more X-planes.
So this is a whole different, I mean, when you think of X-planes, you think of high altitude, super fast, whiz.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be doing the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, the other end, that's right. Urban air mobility is one of the terms being coined, and that is, you know, how do people get goods and services, get off the congested freeways and up in the air.
So if somebody watched the movie Fifth Element and said, hey, I wonder if we can do that.
That's right. So, you guys have had several people talking from NASA, I guess, on X-57.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I call myself the mother of X-57.
So
it was myself and Mark Moore at NASA Langley who originally pitched the idea. And we got a lot of commercial interest, public interest, when we just did a wing on a truck on the Edwards Lake bed out at Air Force Base.
I saw the picture of that. It was the world's goofiest looking spoiler, but yeah.
That's right.
It made the truck go faster.
Right. It did.
It was a poor man's wind tunnel test.
Well, hey, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
Hey, you're not the first people that have done it that way. It's been quite a popular way for people to do flight testing without actually flying.
Yeah, especially when you're just looking at slow speed. You know, we were looking at 70 miles per hour or something like that. So
yeah. They didn't need a big block. They had the four-cylinder pickup truck could do the job.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and so this has been really exciting that to be a part of this new market. I personally am a pilot. My first time out at EAA Oshkosh was in 97 when I got my pilot's license. And I live on an air park in California. So I have my hangar in the backyard. We have three airplanes. We have a experimental Thorpe T-18.
Yep.
We have a Cessna 180 and then a Ronca Super Chief, 1947.
Nice.
So they all have a specific purpose. That's why we have to have three of them.
Right. The Thorpe is just go out and have a little fun sheep.
That's why I call that our sports car of the planes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the 180 is our family hauler.
That's the station wagon, yeah.
And then when we want to go jeeping off-road, we take the Super Chief.
There you go.
So, but the fact that I get that opportunity to have that convenience of, you know, flying out of my own airport to where I need to go and saving, you know, 75% of the time it would take me on the road, and you know, it really doesn't cost that much for us to, we maintain our own airplanes and that sort of thing, so it brings down the operating cost. But for the whole public to be able to leverage that now with these new airplanes is going to be great.
Well, you know, there's a lot of videos on the net, and they're tossing around the idea of the automated air taxi. You get on your phone, you go boop, 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 and the thing flies itself over, and you hop in and go wherever.
Yep.
That you're kind of making that possible.
Yeah, so we have two different projects. We have one that's just focusing on how are we going to certify these electric propulsion components, right? So that big thing with X-57 for us has been, okay, how do you translate endurance testing for a piston engine to a motor propeller?
Right.
And so we look at the rules that exist, and there's maybe 60% of those we can use, and the 40% of it we have to kind of change. And then we say, well, this is going to convince our airworthiness process. at NASA to at least for what we need to do. But we offer that over the FAA and say, you know, does this work for a means of compliance that you guys can consider for this new market? So we're trying to work very closely with the FAA to come up with how we're going to, you know, verify, validate these systems.
I would think that it would be really hard to. I mean, the only thing that's going to kill that electric motor in an endurance test is heat.
That's right.
It's simple as a box of rocks.
That's right. So that's one of the reasons the operating costs for these airplanes should come down, besides using electricity, which is cheaper, obviously. But having less mechanical moving parts, there mm-hmm. should be. I mean, you don't hear about a lot of people putting their electric car into the shop to get it fixed, right?
Right. Oh, so, blew a bearing in the motor.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Not again.
Yeah. I mean, look at you. You work on trains. How often do those motors go? Not that often. Never mind.
You might be surprised.
So I think you guys interviewed Mark Skugie. He's also at NASA Armstrong. Mm-hmm. And his project's focusing on the autonomy piece of it and the assured autonomy. So right now, let's say artificial intelligence kind of algorithms, you can't verify them through the software that they're always going to predict the same answer. So what Mark is working on is having all these safety monitors that basically are like the eyes and ears and all the senses that a human would have, that's monitoring when it should take over from whatever the optimal path is. So if there's somebody, you know, coming into your path, or there's a ground collision avoidance or the air collision avoidance, it takes over. And it's called like a safety wrapper. So you have this black box, you know, that's got really smart intellectual properties, but we put these safety nets over them that we can verify and validate, so we always know it's going to do the right thing all the time. And so eventually we'll take his autonomy project and our electric propulsion project and then put them, you know, together into one, because that is what, so for the business case to close, from hearing the commercial side of it, you got to get the pilot out of the cockpit. That's probably the largest cost of any operating airplane out there.
The largest controversy as well.
Right.
At this point.
That's right.
So are you guys also pushing motor technology and everything else along with it?
So at Armstrong, we're looking at the system solution. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we find what the gaps are, like the first thing we notice is motor controllers, just they still have a ways to go. So we offer, you know, these are the requirements that we're going to need for these to be robust enough and small enough and faster than something that's ground-based. And so we give those requirements out to like NASA Glenn, who work down at the technology level, or industry, some of the small businesses, and say, you know, guys, this is what you need to work on. And then at some point we fold those back in to the system, and then show kind of the performance benefits that they
right, can. And then hopefully people can drive the cost down along the way.
That's right. Yep.
So,
you know, the speed controller is one of the things that I would be worried about, because if your speed controller fails, you've lost all your power pretty much, or at least your propulsion.
At least one motor.
Yeah, so we are building in, and most of the companies are building in, a lot of redundancy. So, for instance, we have two power buses. And each power bus has an alternating motor on it. So there's a total, well, there's two wingtip propulsors on X-57. That's your cruise motors. But each one of those has two motors on it. And each motor is on a different power bus.
Okay.
And each motor controller is on a different power bus. So it's highly improbable you're going to have two power buses go down.
Right.
So all you end up is then just a degraded mode of power. So plenty of power to get you to where you need to get to land.
Right, you still have a motor out there.
You still have it, yeah.
Just not as powerful.
Interesting theory. I never
These
knew
guys
that.
Think this stuff through.
They do. It's amazing, this stuff that NASA has come up with over the years. Electric flight is right now a really, really cutting-edge technology, because a lot of people are putting it into a lot of things. I mean, it all started with the radio control model airplanes, and once the batteries and everything got up to speed, now you've got man-carrying stuff. And I've been over at the innovations tent, and there's some stuff in there that looks very interesting. Is NASA working on similar technology? Or
NASA Glenn that does have a battery chemistry branch where they take it down to, you know, the particle side,
right.
And looking at how we're going to make these batteries lighter, because that definitely is a limiting factor right now. Like X-57, for instance, a third of the weight of that airplane is batteries.
Wow.
There's only enough room to carry one pilot to fly the airplane, because the passenger seat's full of instrumentation. So there's, and what most people, kind of some false advertising is, people will talk about the battery cells have an energy density of, say, 300 megawatts per kilogram, and you put that in a safety package, and you got to rate the batteries for, you know, 15G crash. And so as soon as you wrap all the safety of the systems together, it really brings down that
right,
energy
because
density.
You've got all the parts of the system that aren't contributing to the energy but are contributing to the weight and cost.
Yes, right.
Right. Well, where can we find out more about this on the field here?
So as a matter of fact, this afternoon at 2:30 on Forum Stage 2, I'll be talking in more depth about the engineering with all of our spiral development for our electric propulsion and our autonomy work.
Cool.
Sounds like it could be a good time.
A very good time for the science-minded.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that anything that NASA develops, just like with the original space program stuff, it'll all filter down into the civilian world. So that means that any batteries you guys develop, I may have my RC plane in five years.
My stuff bunny.
That's why we're here, is to build the technology and then transfer it to industry to leverage.
Very good. I want to thank you for joining us. This has been Susan Bell. Is that
no,
right?
No, Stargin.
Wow, I was close.
That was a crash landing.
Yes,
thank
it
you.
Was. Anyway, this is GAA Radio.
Thanks for having me.